All right, welcome back to the program, everybody. Hour two of the FDH Lounge to celebrate our move to Wednesday nights. We are breaking format here. Our entire show is our first annual Fantasy Supergroup Draft. Eight of us are drafting the ultimate rock bands here and submitting to the judging here. I want to give a shout-out, speaking of judging here, at the outset, the website being www.dadprogram.org. That's dadprogram.org. Drums and disabilities. It's a slip of the tongue. Drums and disabilities. Dadprogram.org. Patches Waldo, outstanding drummer, activist as far as disabilities and the use of music to address that. It's our pleasure to have you on as a judge here tonight. Pat, if you would, please take a moment, talk about your group, what you're trying to accomplish with it, and some of the programs.
Sure. Thank you so much, guys. The DAD program, Mayor Bloomberg helped me launch originally in the New York City schools to help children fight disabilities such as autism and other disabilities.
And I see that from your site that you've had a lot of different entities that have been a part of this. I see also, and I find it very interesting, because we've got one of our participants, Buck Woodward, from PWInsider.com, and from our Pro Wrestling Insider show here on Sports Talk Network, I see that WWE and their superstars have been some of the folks who've worked in conjunction with your group.
Yes, Trish Stratus and Booker T at the time, and the WWE's been great, the New York Giants, the New Jersey Nets. It's all about, you know, reaching as many, children and their parents and teachers as possible. And, of course, you know, Lisa there on the show, too, and everybody at Sports Talk has been, you know, such a great supporter, too, and I hugely appreciate all your support, guys. And, you know, we're looking at doing an event, too, which at some point, I think in the spring, possibly, and I'm really looking forward to being there with you guys.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Really looking forward to that, and that would really be something that I know the station will love to put its promotional weight behind. That sounds really interesting here. The teams that we've got thus far here, Anthony Petrone is up with his next pick. We are going with this is now the third pick of the third round. Anthony thus far has picked Tom Schultz for his wild card pick, Jack Blades for his base pick. And just a quick recap for anybody who wasn't on previously here, you have to have one guitarist, one bass player, one front man, one drummer, and then two wild cards to use as you see fit as we go through this thing here. Anthony's already used one of his wild card picks here. There have only been two wild cards overall that have been picked. Zach Wild was picked by Jason, Tom Schultz by Anthony. So he's got.
I had a wild card too.
It really? Oh, Dave Grohl. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah,
my bad.
Nobody's paying attention to Buck.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm thinking drums when I'm thinking Dave Grohl. But no, that's right. Yeah, I'm looking at the WC on my draft board here. Duh. So yeah, Dave Grohl also. So actually, so you're not so special, Anthony. We've had three people take wild cards. Yeah. So. All right, Jack Blades, Tom Schultz. That re-immerses us here. So
I'm going to go with a gentleman that I have seen live as lead guitar.
Okay.
Phenomenal lead guitar. I've sat and watched him. He amazed me when I saw him live.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Peter Frampton.
Peter Frampton. All right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Anthony comes alive with that pick here. So Peter Frampton, that's for guitar, you said, right?
Anthony, I love your way, baby.
Yeah. That's for guitar, you said?
Guitar. Okay. Not singer.
I have no idea why you guys are healing on Peter Frampton. That guy was an innovator on the guitar
back in
the day.
He's wow, 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 wow.
I mean, he's pretty much irrelevant now, but back in the day.
Well, see, I'm looking at how they fit, and if you've ever
and I agree. Yeah. I agree. It's a with his ability.
And if you've ever sat and watched him live, it's phenomenal.
Not only that, too. And they've got it on YouTube. The commercial that he did, I don't remember if it was for Geico or Progressive or which company, the commercial he did was just awesome. The one where he's interpreting the woman, that was classic. All right, Frampton to go with Blades and Schultz, staying with the theme of versatility. We're all sort of drawing, not all of us necessarily, but some of us are drawing teams with certain distinct themes, bands with distinct themes. For Anthony, it's versatility. Everybody in there can do, you know, 10 different things with 10 different fingers, apparently.
And they fit very well.
Yeah, so that's his team. Matt Patrone is up next. Michael Anthony on bass. Brian May on guitar. He's got the mandatory parts of his rhythm section in place right now.
I think I'm going to add to that rhythm section with a wild card on this pick. I'm not too worried about anybody else on my list getting picked because the way I see things going here. So I'm going to take this one. I think he's going to be the one I got to worry about the most and go with Aerosmith's Joe Perry.
Joe Perry.
On
okay.
a wild card.
I think Joe Perry is extremely overrated.
Wow.
I think he's underrated, actually.
Okay, did you play the Aerosmith Guitar Hero?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. How easy was that game? It was the same four notes over and over again.
You're comparing Guitar Hero to what he actually plays? Are you nuts? Come on, it's Joe freaking Perry.
Actually sit and listen to his guitar parts. It's the same phrase over and over again.
Hey, Sam, that's probably because it's a plastic guitar with four buttons and all you gotta do is strum it.
I'm getting the point.
As somebody who's never played Guitar Hero, I'm loving this discussion. I'm learning a lot about it, I feel like.
No, but it's not the point that the Guitar Hero was easy. It's the same part over and over again in every song. It's very uninteresting.
I don't hear it.
I don't think so.
Wow.
I disagree.
This is why this is hard, because music is that subjective.
It is, and it's going to be very interesting when we get to the end here to get Pat's takes on how these are coming together. I got the next pick here. I've got Geddy Lee on bass, Steve Smith on drums, and I'm trying to get guys here who I think can adapt to a number of different styles here. Certainly, Steve Smith exemplifies that as a guy who's moved out of rock altogether and now does jazz. For a guitar player, I'm looking around here for who I think can fit this type of theme. There are more famous names, perhaps, available at this point, and I did think about one or two of them. But the four words that caught my eye, Tokyo Metropolitan Symphony Orchestra. And that leads me in the direction of Steve Vai, who's going to be my guitar player. He's a guy who I think can go any number of directions. I get the thumbs up from Delphi here. He sees what I'm trying to accomplish. So Steve Vai. Yeah. Steve Vai joining Steve Smith and Geddy Lee. Sam, Steve Vai, not overrated, correct?
Not overrated. Good
all
pick.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Our guitar correspondent.
Yeah, that was a quality. You snaked me. I was hoping to get Steve Vai in the next round, but
Steve
that was
Vai.
Probably wishful thinking that he'd fall to the fourth round. Nice job.
Imagine thank you.
Steve Vai and Joe Satriani. Wow.
That would have been sweet.
Whew.
Well, that would have been. That would have been.
But it's
vicious.
Not happening now.
hey, Buck, if I would have had Steve Vai and Joe Satriani, that would have been vicious and delicious. But since it's my turn to pick, it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for me to get a front man for my super group. Ladies and gentlemen, please. Ladies and gentlemen, I can only think of one vocalist with the range, the power, and the capacity to do justice to Billy Sheehan and Joe Satriani guitar section, and that man would be Ronnie James Dio.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
I thought you were about to follow it up with shoobity boobity bop bitty bop. Ronnie James Dio, okay. That I didn't see that one coming. I thought you were going to go another direction.
That's a damn good
one. You know, I saw him picking that one later.
Okay.
Good pick, Belty.
I thought we were going to talk about Jesse's girl.
Oh. Yeah.
Why? She's irrelevant like Rick Springfield.
Oh! Hearing Belfie healing on Rick Springfield. Wow. That's...
Hey, Paul.
Hey, look, I dig the music, and he's a good guy. Somebody... He takes care of us here at the station when we do the stuff that we do, but come on.
Hey, Paul, when are your friends going to stop sending Christmas cards to you?
When Christmas is over.
Evidently.
That's a weird question to ask in the beginning of December.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably going to be driven by the calendar. That's just my guess.
We'll see.
All right. So that's Satriani, Sheehan, and Dio, the picks for Paul. We come now to the FDH entertainment editor, Samantha Jones, who has Flea on bass, and Neil Peart, the great Neil Peart, on drums thus far.
You know, I was looking at lead guitarists, and we have a pretty big list for guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yes, nice.
So I was looking for someone who can do a lot of different things, you know, do some new stuff with a guitar. So I'm going to go with Tom Morello.
Okay.
Of Rage Against the Machine and Audio Slave.
Boo. I like Tom Morello, but he's got to stop talking about his putting his two cents in. We're Raging Against the Machine, man. Shut up. It's not 1992.
Shut up
anymore.
And play the guitar.
Hey, back to that Guitar Hero thing, man. He was one of the easiest ones to beat in the battles.
Tom, yeah, well, negatory points then, I guess. I don't know.
Hold on, I'm trying to figure this out. Now, Joe Perry, you give him a guitar, he can make music. Can Tom Morello make music without 500 stomp boxes and, 15 electric gizmos attached to his guitar?
Oh. Nice. Oh. And so our wrestling dynamic is shaping up for the night here with Buck Woodward on one side and Samantha Jones on the other. Flea, Neil Peart, and Tom Morello right there.
Yeah, maybe we can ask our wrestling friends, who's a bigger anti-American, Tom Morello or the Iron Sheik?
My vote is Tom Morello.
Hold on. In Tom Morello's defense, he's all about the USA because he's one of the most capitalist rock stars I know.
Oh, man.
Actually, in all honesty, we're ripping on it, but if you look, Samantha's lineup kind of makes sense here. She's going with kind of like a progressive lineup.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's got kind of that old-school progressive vibe to it, even if the guys themselves aren't that old-school, aside from Neil Peart. We come now to what can only be called the most eclectic pairing we've seen thus far. Jason Jones, FDH senior editor, with Zach Wild on wild card and Bootsy Collins on bass. I shudder to think where the third pick's going. Jason?
Rick, not only should you shudder, but you're not even seeing this one coming. But I'm going to extend this silly analogy a step further. Joe Perry on Guitar Hero, whatever. Tom Morello on Guitar Hero, whatever. The point I'm trying to make here is my pick for lead guitar is so good that these nerds that spend day after day after day trying to play that game to perfection still can't do this. And before I give you his name, I'll give you a little help.
I can't even hear that.
I know who he's talking about. Oh, what is his name?
I can't even hear that.
It's the end.
It sounds like an organ grinder.
It's the end song on Guitar Hero.
Oh, what is his name?
Because I thought about it.
We give up.
I got nothing.
For those of you who either couldn't hear or don't know what that is Herman Lee of Dragon Force, arguably, very debatably, the fastest and most badassest guitar player on the planet.
Yngwie Malmsteen says hi.
I would give it more to Jason with Herman Lee on that over
think
Yngwie.
So. Okay, well, Herman Lee, yeah. I mean, that
fast.
He certainly is. And you're putting something together there, certainly. Zach Wild, Bootsy Collins, Herman Lee. It's like
wow.
More in 3 rounds.
It's like an abstract painting. Yeah, I think we'll have a better idea as we go along here at some point. I'm sure. I hope. But very intriguing thus far. No question about it. Tony Mazur now with Chris Cornell and Jerry Cantrell satisfying the frontman and guitar picks thus far. And two guys, as has been pointed out, and I'm not sure we've seen a whole lot of this here tonight, but two guys pretty congruent in terms of genre. So if you're looking for chemistry, how they're going to play together, whatever, same scene, same time, same whatever. I'll be interested to see if picks 3 and 4 adhere to this as well.
Yes, they will. I'm going to go with my pick. I'm going to go with a drummer. He was the drummer for Alanis Morissette's first album, Jagged Little Pill. And he was tapped by Dave Grohl saying, hey, do you want to be a member of the Foo Fighters? He's like, yeah, I'm going with Taylor Hawkins.
Good pick.
Taylor Hawkins. So you've got another...
It's actually on my board.
Wow, really? Okay.
Yeah.
If you go to a Foo Fighters show, now, again, I bring up my dad, and I'm going to say this because a lot of Clevelanders know what I'm talking about, but my dad listens to what we once called MMS music. And so basically 70s rock, album-oriented rock. But when we were at the Foo Fighters show, he was working security. He's like, wow, who's that drummer for Foo Fighters? I'm like, that's Taylor Hawkins. He's like, wow, is he good? And What do you know? I'm picking him here in the third round.
Okay. He's the second best drummer in the Foo Fighters. I got the first.
So. Very nice. But again, in terms of how this is going to, in terms of how everything's going to gel, Tony's making a very aggressive move here because he's got guys where it's pretty easy to picture these guys playing together. We don't necessarily have to extrapolate the way that we do with some of these other guys. So it's a very interesting, very defined strategy. And you said actually both those picks were going to be the same way.
Yep. And the next one for the first pick of the fourth round, I'm going with the bass guitarist from Stone Temple Pilots, Robert DeLeo.
Wow.
Now, see, the one thing about bass guitarists, we look on here, we see Geddy Lee, we see Flea, we see Les Claypool, the very dynamic bass guitarist. But then it gets to that point where, because that's their that top tier, but then it gets to the point where a bass guitarist is nothing more than someone who just keeps up with the band, makes, has good sound. But if you listen to Stone Temple Pilots, you can hear Robert DeLeo really just go at it. You can hear he was an inspiration for me again to start playing bass guitar, and you just got to listen to it and you'll hear it. So I'm going Robert DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots and the short-lived supergroup known as Army of Anyone.
I love that pick personally, just because, as I said before, I mean, Rush is my favorite, but you know, Stone Temple Pilots and Linkin Park are right there. So I love that pick. That's a great pick, Robert DeLeo on bass. So I don't have a vote in this thing, but I love that one personally, for whatever minute amount that is worth. Come back around now to Jason, Zach Wilde, Bootsy Collins, Herman Lee. Let's see the fourth brush stroke in this abstract painting here, Jason.
Well, there are still quite a few frontmen left that I like. However, if there's a run on them stylistically, I might be stuck with something that doesn't fit.
Okay.
So, although there's still two more major elements to this, I'm going to go ahead and get my frontman. He had to be able to scream with the best of them, and I know most people on this panel probably couldn't care less about that. But he has to have great vocal range. I don't care if you like what he looks like, but I'm going with Linkin Park's own Chester Bennington.
Chester Bennington, okay. And for reasons that I don't even need to get into, because I just talked about my three favorite groups there, I love that one. So as your
like
front man.
Too.
Yeah, that talk about that, Sam. What kind of snakeage was there on that pick?
Actually, we have a long conversation over who would get which Linkin Park member, and I've got a plan for some of them later on, so
okay.
I let him have Desser.
All right. Well, that's not the kind of collusion we tolerate in an actual fantasy sports draft, but that...
I didn't even do that.
Yeah.
See, there's someone else that I wanted more.
Okay.
See, the thing, though, Jason has to watch who he picks, because the missus, if she gets mad, he's in trouble.
Yeah, well...
Sleeping on the couch tonight.
It's interesting. I mean, out of the eight of us, we have two sets of relatives here in this thing, so it's very interesting. No collusion on the one end. The Joneses, however,
and
apparently...
what's funny is... we're both back-to-back, me and Matt, back-to-back. Sam and Jason,
that's
back-to-back.
True. That's true.
Yeah, well, Jason has said that he doesn't know the first thing about half these people, so I had to help him somewhere.
That's true.
That would explain why he put Bootsy with Zach Wilde.
Exactly. That was all him.
Hey, he may get the last laugh. He may win this thing. You never know. But that's...
I'll be last.
Just... so some of the individual combinations, too. Not just Zach Wilde and Bootsy. How about Bootsy and Chester Bennington?
I know.
Isn't that kind of mind-bending? You know?
My mind is completely boggled.
Is Chester going to do the vocals on Grooves in the Heart? I mean, there's
one. One of these four is not like the other.
Sam is going to wake up in the middle of the night tonight and just look at him and go, what the hell were you thinking?
It's okay, I'll smack him around later.
This is great. An interesting team here. Well, Samantha, who I put the pressure on ahead of time, who I proclaimed as our favorite, she's our FDH Entertainment Editor, Flea on bass, Neil Peart on drums, Tom Morello on guitar. It's a very solid backbone of the band thus far. You've got everything but your front man and your two wild cards, Sam.
And I'm going to do one of those wild cards right now because there seems to be a little run on this band. But, you know, he's extremely versatile. He can sing, he can play guitar, he can play the keyboards, he can rap, he can do anything else, he can DJ. I'm going with Mike Shinoda.
Yep.
I thought about that. I thought about that one myself, and that's the one. I mean, I know that he's done the stuff with the stuff that he did with Fort Minor, but my only thought here in terms of trying to put this together, you had more guts than I did, because I'm looking at this like in the context of a supergroup. Would it be too evocative of Linkin Park? Would it make you is he too associated maybe with that, because they're so unique with everything that they do, with everything he brings to them? So clearly you're taking that chance there that the band could get its own identity with him in there.
Yeah, I'm thinking him more as like the keyboard player, maybe, you know, another guitar if they so choose, I guess.
Okay.
But mostly it's probably keyboards.
Well, clearly,
he's pretty amazing on the piano.
Oh, he is. He can definitely work the instruments, but I'm sure you were thinking of it also, everything that he can add with doing a little bit of the rapping with some of the lyrical stuff also, too. But yeah, no,
he can do so many things. He's a wild card, you know. You can put him anywhere, and he'll be fine.
Exactly. He's multi-talented. That's again, you know, three picks in a row from among my favorite bands here, STP and then Linkin Park.
Sam, I'm surprised you didn't preface your pick by saying, "Remember the name."
yeah, not funny.
No, I know. I tried. Come on now.
I'm guessing Paul is going to put an end to the whole thing here of picking guys for my favorite bands, but just a guess on my part.
Let me give you a little background on the drummer for my super group. Used to play with Vanilla Fudge. I'm on the Wikipedia page, and I can't change the dates or anything on this one. Played with Rod Stewart, Stanley Clark, Ted Nugent, Pink Floyd, Ozzy Osbourne. His influences include Buddy Rich and Gene Krupa, along with extensive classical training. And he's meticulous as hell as a drummer. Ladies and gentlemen, and some of his other supergroups that he's played with include King Cobra and Blue Murder. My drummer, ladies and gentlemen, Carmine Appice.
Okay.
Great drummer. All the young people have no idea who he is. But
I know,
drummer.
that's why you hear a collective, huh, out of the air studio, but our esteemed judges know exactly who Carmine Appice is, and he is a perfect fit for my supergroup.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Paul Belfi having done a little more research than I thought he was going to do for this thing here. So,
Pat, you being a drummer, what do you think about that pick?
I think that's great. But I do have to say, though, the Sheehan, Satch, and Dio sounds like a heavy metal law firm.
very nice, Pat.
Does the law firm defend against dog bites?
Hey, you know what, Pat? I just wonder too. What would they dress like in the courtroom? Would it be jean vests as part of their three-piece suit?
Oh, I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. I'm up for my next pick here, and I'm looking here in terms of, again, versatility. I've already got one guitar player, and the beauty of it is, as I look at that guitar player and the guy who's going to be the first of my two wild card picks, I don't honestly know who would be the lead guitarist. My guess is they would switch back and forth. I see them as being pretty interchangeable, because I see variety in terms of being able to handle things as being part of the identity of this supergroup here. We've got, I mean, technically Steve Vai fills my guitar position here. In my wild card position, similarly, I am going for Mr. Cliffs of Dover, Eric Johnson, to join the band here also. And be the other virtuoso here in the rhythm section. So Geddy Lee on bass, Steve Smith on drums, Steve Vai on guitar, Eric Johnson on wild card, but realistically that would be perhaps co-lead guitar. So, yeah, I am liking how that's coming together here so far.
I think Rick's the team to beat right now.
Really?
I got to kind of agree, because I'm seeing a lot of these picks going on here, and you're picking one of the bands that I had put together.
Wow.
Damn near to the T.
Really? Really? I know how hard Matt worked to prepare for this thing. I'm feeling good right now.
Anybody that's watching the video, this is Matt's preparation for this.
Yeah, look at that.
I work by myself in a building with just a radio for 9 hours a day. So I put a little bit into this. I'm probably going to lose, so...
He did all that, and I'm snaking his team thus far. I'm feeling pretty good about myself.
One of my teams.
That's very good.
One
all
of
right.
my teams.
He's got
all right.
15 teams.
All yeah. right. Well, hey, don't rain on my parade. I'm feeling good right about now.
15 my, teams. It still doesn't equal the amount of people who've played in Iron Butterfly and Warren.
Hey, leave the cause out of this. All right. Speaking of Matt, he's got on his team thus far, on the team he's drafting tonight, actually, as opposed to any hypothetical ones, Michael Anthony on bass, Brian May on guitar, Joe Perry as his wild card. Take it away, fourth pick, Matthew.
I do got to say, I've been loving the picks here. I've been surprised by a lot of them, and I'm surprised I haven't been seeing too much toe-stepping here. And except for Anthony taking Tom from me and me taking Michael Anthony from Paulie there. So everybody's playing nice. But on drums, for me, he's, in my opinion, he's another one that's kind of underrated. And I'm kind of tossed now that he hasn't been taken yet. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take Michael Cardellone from Damn Yankees.
Okay. Michael Cardellone.
Great drummer. He's playing with Skinner now, too.
Yeah. That's a good pick, and I believe, I have to look over our list, that's our second Damn Yankees pick of the night here, so.
Hey. Well, see, that's what I wanted to do until you said they couldn't be in the band
right.
at all.
You
well,
were
going to
pick
Damn
all Damn Yankees?
Yeah. Put them back together again, you know?
Hey, I love that stuff from back in the day. That would be a good band. If you're going to pick a band to put back together, might as well be that one. But that's a good pick right there.
I have it on authority from my number two pick that they will be back together at some point in the future.
They will be. Okay. All right. Well, we have that to look forward to. We'll go to Anthony Patrone here before we take a break, and then when we come back, we'll hit the rest of our picks here in rounds, the final pick of round four when we come back, and then rounds five and six. We'll make this one the last one for right now. Anthony's got Tom Scholz, Jack Blades, Peter Frampton thus far. Team Versatility so far here tonight.
I got another one that's versatile. Mm-hmm. Going to be the second member from this band picked tonight.
Okay.
A band that's on tour, come back, had a long problems. Wonderful drummer. He can sing too. Roger Taylor from Queen.
Roger Taylor.
Ooh, good pick.
All right, so there's your drummer. And that gives you, so you thus far only need a wild card and front man yet to go here. As we look at the teams here, and I'd love to get Pat's thoughts here before we go to break here in this segment. We've got thus far the picks from Buck. He's got Les Claypool on bass, Kurt Hammett on guitar, Dave Grohl is the wild card. Anthony has Tom Scholz on wild card, Jack Blades on bass, Peter Frampton on guitar, Roger Taylor drums. Matt Patrone has Michael Anthony bass, Brian May guitar, Joe Perry wild card, Mike Cardellone drums. I, Rick Morris, have Geddy Lee bass, Steve Smith drums, Steve Vai guitar, Eric Johnson wild card. Paul Belfi has Joe Satriani guitar, Billy Sheehan bass, Ronnie James Dio frontman, and Carmine Appice drums. Samantha has Flea on bass, Neil Peart drums, Tom Morello guitar, Mike Shinoda wild card. Jason's team, Zach Wild wild card, Bootsy Collins bass, Herman Lee guitar, Chester Bennington frontman. And Tony with team early 90s, comma Northwest. Chris, but hey,
it's my attire.
I like that music, so I'm not putting it down. Chris Cornell, frontman. Jerry Cantrell, guitar. Taylor Hawkins, drums. Robert DeLeo, bass. And looking at this here, Pat, things are coming into focus a little bit more clearly than they were the last time we went to break here. Thoughts on how some of these teams are developing? We've got some themes here. We've got some eclectic mixes on different ones here. It's shaping up almost eight different ways right about now.
Boy, it really is. I mean, that Bootsy Zach combination is still kind of intriguing, but I'll tell you what I'm really liking, though, is that Billy Sheehan and Joe Satriani and Dio. I think that's a killer combination.
Well, that was, I know you said going into the last break you were taken with the Satriani and Sheehan thing, so it's clearly just reinforcing what you thought.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and wait till you hear my next selection for one of my wild card picks, and I assure you that will put me over the top for winning yet another fantasy draft from Sports Talk Network and the FDH Lounge. Thank you.
You know, I love how he's so cocky, but if he makes a pick and he boosts himself up like this, and then he makes a pick and everybody goes boo.
This thing ain't over yet. We got some things to say about
it. Well, in fairness to me, I've been putting over the picks that I thought have been very good. I happen to think, Anthony, that your group is good. I think taking Tom Schultz was very forward-thinking on your part. And a lot of people, you know, that's the problem with a lot of the music fans from today. They don't dig on the vibe that was right back in the early, mid, to late 70s, all the 70s, and in the early 80s. There was some phenomenal musicians and phenomenal music. And you know, the 90s just killed everything. I'm sorry. You know, it just killed everything.
I got to agree with that. No two ways about that.
You know, Paul, I like what everybody's putting together. Everybody has something that could be a solid band, something that could be very, very good.
I want to follow up on this here for a second, what was said, because we talk about versatility. Somebody like Pat, you know, when you look at guys from different bands that he's played with, I mean, he's got a lot of different things going on here. I haven't played with guys from Deep Purple and Kiss, Quiet Riot, also the Metropolitan Opera, among others. So Pat, coming from your background, I want you to expand on what you just said about what Paul said here about the 90s and where things started to maybe go off the rails a little bit in some ways.
Yeah, I really think the whole, you know, advent of the grunge scene, I think, really took away a lot of the, one of the biggest changes, of course, in rock was, and not so much the hair band aspect, but really when you look at that metal scene, I mean, when you look at Yngwie Malmsteen, when you look at Randy Rhoads, you know, when you look at, I mean, that was a really true beginning of a whole era that a lot of people, you know, just completely lost today, especially the kids, you know, nowadays, unfortunately, you know. But that's such an important core, because especially if you look at somebody like Randy Rhoads, who mixed, you know, classical with rock with metal, I mean, that was really an important scene. And then, boom, 90s come along, and it just faded away.
There was a time, as you well know, that Randy Rhoads was likened to being the next Eddie Van Halen. That's how good Randy Rhoads was,
and
it's a shame that he was taken so young in life. It's just an absolute freaking tragedy. There are so many musicians that were taken way too early from the game that if we were to do a draft of all timers, regardless if they were dead or alive, we would be here for hours. It's tragic. It really is. But as far as Randy Rhoads goes, I couldn't agree more with you. Couldn't agree more.
Randy Rhoads would have been my first pick if he would have been alive.
Right. Oh, mine too. Yeah, I would have, you know, he would have beat everybody, I think. No two ways.
I'd like to point out the pop, and coming from the youngest member of here of the FDH, I know it's very popular for people to rip on the 90s music and grunge, but I'd have to say, though, grunge paid homage to its predecessors. Like, for example, punk rock music, classic rock. See, the thing is, and I'll have a couple of disagreements from these two next to me, but a lot of that 80s, they kind of abandoned, I believe, they kind of abandoned what it was, because it was more about the style. And when bands like Guns N' Roses came out, when bands like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and Soundgarden, and those of the similar bands, it kind of revitalized rock and roll music. I understand the, you know, the killing yourself, doing the heroin and all that, but drugs have always been a part of music. And I think with grunge and even a little bit into the post-grunge, that it really should have revitalized music, but people were like, I think people got sick of the hair metal. I think because my mom, who is, she's up there, she's in her late 40s and everything, and my dad, when it got to the 80s, and, you know, Leonard Skinner was leaving, and Aerosmith started going down a little bit until they came back in the 90s. But they kind of got sick of the hair metal, and they went to, like, talk radio and stopped listening to music. And I believe in the 90s, my mom went back to listening to 90s music, because it is good. And as much as people will still rip on the 90s, oh, that grunge, you know, Nirvana killed music. No, the 90s had some bad music, let's face it. Every decade had its share of horrid music. But for a lot of people to rip on grunge for killing rock music, I'm no disrespect. I'm just going to say it's not very valid.
You know, I want to ask... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I completely agree with Tony, though, because, you know, you got bands like Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam. In my opinion, they completely revolutionized rock music. They, like, changed the whole scene.
And every band that's out nowadays, they tribute to Jimmy Page and Eddie Van Halen with their... But it's a lot of what... Because I tell the story every time, but I met the members of Theory of a Dead Man, who are like the biggest rock act out now, and I had an Alice in Chains shirt on, and they were doing like a signing and everything, and they were about done, and the lead singer Tyler Connelly looked at my shirt and said, "Dude, I will sign anything for anyone who's wearing a shirt with Alice in Chains on it." And I'm like, "Yeah, I saw people wearing the same shirt here," and he's like, "There should be 10,000 people wearing that shirt. They're such a good band." So a lot of people attribute to the old days, but also guys like I picked Jerry Cantrell, paid homage to Jimmy Page, and even they did that Heart tribute, if you remember.
Well, as we go to break, I want to ask Pat here, trying to look for some common ground between some of the things that have been said. Is it fair to say, because I find myself in sympathy with various points here, Pat, because I'm one of the only people probably that has, you know, fondness for music from some of the last couple of decades, albeit certain specific things from certain periods of time. Is it possible, I mean, this is the way that I kind of look at it here, that in the 80s some of the excesses came from pop music and from some of the stuff that was maybe a little bit too radio-friendly in some ways here versus in the 90s some of the excesses coming from grunge? That seems to be some of what you're talking about, if I'm hearing you right, that there was some stuff that really wasn't that melodic and that was just kind of... Not really paying much attention to that part of the game here. That's kind of how I see it. You know, pop in the 80s might have gone a little bit too far in places, grunge in the 90s.
Well, yeah, I think that, well, if you look at the 80s, I mean, a lot of the whole glam scene, I think that went a bit too far as, you know, visually. Stylistically, I think that, you know, the 90s scene was... And I do have to give a lot of credit to them, because just in the way that the 80s did, as I mentioned, a lot of the guys in the 90s did create that whole grunge scene, and you have to give them credit no matter what. Just like the, you know, even the thrash metal guys. I mean, and, you know, I don't play any of that stuff myself, but I still have to give them a lot of credit, because it's, you know, still revolutionary. So, and you know, I think when the 90s came along, and, of course, you know, Nirvana and that whole thing came around, I mean, you got to give them a lot of credit. And but as far as the 90s, though, as far as the grunge scene, no, I think the only thing that was probably overdone was the whole drug situation, as somebody had mentioned earlier before. You know, I think you see that whole thing going on, which was just such a shame.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's the reason why, you know, some of the great musicians we've talked about, why they're not with us anymore. And that was, I remember from back in the day, that it was something where it was almost like a backlash against the whole 80s anti-drug thing, just say no, and it became one of those kind of stupid cyclical things that I think we tend to go through here, where heroin's cool, man, there's nothing wrong with heroin, you know, it's... You know,
Sincerely, four students from Westlake High School.
Yeah, exactly.
Sincerely, all of Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, exactly. I think we just kind of tend to have memories that are too short here.